The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, the insanity of the NFL season just continues all the way through week 16. We just had some more crazy games this weekend. And then also we had some people's playoffs hopes dashed and some teams winning divisions and securing their playoff spots. So let's get right into it. We had Saturday football this week, so that was great. And it began with the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders. The Commanders actually looked like they wanted to play in this game, at least for the first half, and then they just completely faded away into the second half. And the Eagles walked away with this one 29-18. Jalen Hurts had a big game, 22 for 30, 185 yards and two touchdowns. Saquon Barkley had 132 yards and a touchdown, so that was old school Saquon Barkley right there. And then, of course, A.J. Brown also threw in 95 yards himself. And the Eagles, with that win, were able to secure the NFC East division. So they are the first two-time winner in, God, I think it's been 20-plus years since the last two-time champion has happened, back-to-back champion has happened with the NFC East. It's a new champion every year since, I think it was 2003 or something. It's been a long ass time. It has been a long ass time. And so the Eagles took it because that's just how it went. So Commanders season, they were playing for nothing anyway, so it didn't really matter. But Eagles have moved on and they are moving on to the playoffs. Then a crazy game on Saturday night was between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. It was pretty much all Packers all night, even though Jordan Love, he actually ended up getting knocked out of this game with a concussion, but Malik Willis came in at quarterback and actually filled in really nice. But then the Bears just turned it on in the fourth quarter. They were able to push it into overtime. They scored 13 points in the fourth quarter, pushing it to overtime. And then Caleb Williams just drives him down the field and tosses the game-winning touchdown for the Bears to win 22-16. Speaking of Caleb Williams, went 19 for 34, 250 yards and two touchdowns, and just another beautiful game from this dude. He is just delivering bombs to his receivers and just tearing defenses up, and just the way this guy just delivers the ball, it's just beautiful. And every time I've watched a Bears game so far this season, I've been, at least recently, very impressed with what he's been doing. He has just been ripping everybody apart, and it's just been beautiful. And a huge win for them, because now this puts them in the driver's seat, basically for the NFC North. If they just keep on winning, they basically got this division on lockdown and have a really have a good shot at the number two seed, or potentially the number one seed. But I kind of feel like that's either going to go to the Rams or the Seahawks. But hey, who knows? But the Bears keep winning. The Bears keep looking really good, especially on the offensive side of the ball. But their defense really took care of business in this one. And like I said, got the big win over the Green Bay Packers, 22-16. Then moving on to Sunday's games, we had the Los Angeles Chargers at my Dallas Cowboys, and the Chargers, I mean, we already knew the playoffs were not going to happen since the Eagles won, that basically put a fork in the Cowboys, but then the Chargers put even more of a fork in the Cowboys in this one. It started off as a close game, but then the second half started and the Cowboys did not start, and they got demolished 34-17. Justin Herbert had a nice day for the Chargers, 22 for 29, 300 yards and two touchdowns. The running back Hampton had 85 yards and a touchdown. And on the Cowboys side of the ball, George Pickens had 130 yards and a touchdown. And I got to say, I don't know what is going on with the sports media and their hatred towards George Pickens lately. And it's funny because it's not Dallas media that's having the issue. It's like the national media. I mean, I think it was either this weekend or last weekend, I was watching the Fox Sports crew, and they were, like, ripping him and talking about his attitude, and I'm like, hold up here. You know, George Pickens had issues when he was with Pittsburgh, but he's been a model citizen since he's been with the Cowboys. As a matter of fact, he's been the bright spot of the Cowboys. I mean, the whole offense has been very good, but I mean, George Pickens has been exceptionally consistent. And it's like he has like one or two down games, and all of a sudden the sports media is like, oh my God, he's got issues. And it's like, no, he doesn't. He has no issues. He's not yelling at anybody. He's not throwing any temper tantrums. He's not, you know, doing anything. He's actually just went out and had 130 yards in a meaningless game. So, it's kind of odd to hear, and it feels like it's every channel too that I've been watching that's been like criticizing him for his attitude, and I'm just like, George Pickens does not have an attitude problem with the Cowboys. And if you're talking about when he was with the Steelers, okay, yeah, we could talk about that. I don't know why we would, because that was a couple years ago, but with the Cowboys, he's had no issues. So not sure what's up with that, but I just think it's weird because I'm just noticing, I'm like, there's no issues with him. He's been the best thing about the Cowboys so far this season. And then we had the Buffalo Bills at the Cleveland Browns, which was an exceptionally weird game because the Bills should have dominated this game, and they did at the beginning, but then the Browns started to make a comeback and actually almost were able to win this game. They did not win the game. The Bills were able to hang on 23-20. And Myles Garrett, single-season sack record watch, he did get a half sack in this. So Myles Garrett is at 22 sacks now. So he just needs one more sack to pass, to have the all-time single-season record. So still looking forward to that. He has two games to catch that, and I don't doubt that he will get it in this next game. But that's pretty much all the Browns had to look forward to in that one. Although Shedeur Sanders, not a bad game, 20 for 29, 157 yards and a touchdown. But once again, that offensive line is straight trash, so kind of difficult to really gauge what's going on there, but he's playing pretty decent with that terrible offensive line. But then turning to the Bills side of the ball, James Cook had another huge game, 117 yards and two touchdowns. I kind of feel like James Cook's a guy a lot of people aren't looking at as a MVP candidate, but I kind of feel like you might want to look at him as an MVP candidate, especially because it kind of feels like every time the Bills have a good game, so does James Cook. Then the, I'd say, hilarious game of the day actually ended up being the Kansas City Chiefs at the Tennessee Titans, because this is what a Kansas City Chiefs team looks like without Patrick Mahomes. I mean, they went up against, in my opinion, the least talented team in the entire league is the Tennessee Titans. Their roster from top to bottom is pretty much terrible. Because at least with the Raiders, you could point to Max Crosby, who's a great player. Then you turn to the Browns, and they've at least got Myles Garrett, who's an amazing talent. So it's like at least they've got somebody who's amazingly talented. The Titans have nothing going on. But the Chiefs weren't even able to muster up a touchdown in this one. This was 26-9 win, the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans, yeah, they pretty much dominated this game over the Kansas City Chiefs team. And yes, they didn't have anything to play for, but the only thing missing really was Patrick Mahomes, and that's how bad this team looked. But on the Titans side of the ball, Cam Ward, a rookie quarterback, had a solid game, 21 for 28, 228 yards, and two touchdowns. Tony Pollard continues his awesome season with 102 yards on the ground. And just a really solid, good win from the Titans. They definitely needed something like that, not only just against the Chiefs, but I mean, they really started to get it going on the offensive side of the ball, which is something they really have not been able to do for the majority of this season. Then we had the Cincinnati Bengals at the Miami Dolphins, and I told you, the Bengals were going to open up a can of whoop-ass in this one, and they did. They got the win 45-21. Joe Burrow, I just kind of felt like he was really going to open it up in this one. I felt like it was going to be a Joe Burrow game, and it was a Joe Burrow game. 25 for 32, 309 yards, and four touchdowns on the day. Jamar Chase, he had 109 yards, but none of those touchdowns, shockingly, but it didn't matter. You just really kind of needed to see that game from Burrow since, you know, he's been injured most of the year, and even though there's really nothing to play for the Bengals this season, it's just nice to get that type of a game under your belt, especially since, you know, he spent the year, a good chunk of this year, rehabbing, and so probably felt good for him to go out there and have a four-touchdown game like that. Then we had the New York Jets at the New Orleans Saints, and this game started out real slow, but then the second half started, and the New Orleans Saints were like, hey, wait a second, we can actually score some points here. They got the win 29-6. Tyler Shug, he is looking like he's the dude for the New Orleans Saints, at least for now. He went 32 for 49, 308 yards and a touchdown. And Chris Olave, huge day from him, 148 yards and two touchdowns in a really nice, solid win from the New Orleans Saints. Then we had the Minnesota Vikings at the New York Giants, and this one was about as terrible as a game as you thought it was going to be. The Vikings got the win 16-13. J.J. McCarthy got hurt again in this one, so I kind of feel like you might want to just, I don't know, I guess I say you sit him, but it's like he probably could benefit from playing since he's not really that good, but you might want to sit him these last two games just simply because he keeps getting hurt. It's kind of like Jaden Daniels, how every time Jaden Daniels stepped into a game this year, he'd get healthy and then be hurt again. So it's kind of feeling like that same thing with McCarthy, but he got hurt again. But even so, the Vikings were able to hang on and get that win. Then probably the most important game of the weekend probably ended up being between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers, because this is for the division. Both teams came into this game tied for the division lead, and the Panthers actually ended up getting this win 23-20. It was a back-and-forth game, but Bryce Young, he's really starting to really put it together. He's really actually, he's had quite a few comeback wins, especially since he's hit the league, so he's really not scared when he's down. He never really is out, and he went 21 for 32, 191 yards and two touchdowns. And then his go-to guy, McMillan, 73 yards and a touchdown. This defense, this Carolina Panthers defense was huge, especially on the last drive of the game. The Buccaneers were driving to at least try and tie this game or potentially go for the game-winning field goal, and they were right there to pick Baker Mayfield off and end that game and get a huge win. They do play again in the final week of the season in Tampa, so we'll see how things go these next 2 weeks for these teams, but that was a win that the Panthers needed, and now the Panthers are actually in first place in their division and could potentially hit the playoffs. Who would have thought? Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Denver Broncos, and this was finally the game for the Jaguars, where it's like, are you for real or are you fake? And I think they might have proven they are for real, or at least right now they are, because they walked right into Denver and gave zero fucks in this game. They had the lead from quarter one and just kept it moving, and really, and then once the second half started, Trevor Lawrence and this team just stepped away. Trevor Lawrence had four touchdowns in this game, three passing and another rushing, so he is just really turning it on, playing some really efficient football. He's not turning the ball over. He's scoring touchdowns. And they got the win 34-20, and they dropped 34 points on the number one defense in the league. That just goes to show you what this team just did to a really good team. And then you turn to the Broncos side of the ball, and they were in complete disarray on the offensive side of the ball, especially the second half of the game. The Jaguars defense really confused them, really made things difficult for them. And the Jaguars got a big win. It was a statement win. They could potentially get the number one overall seed in the AFC, because that's just kind of how the playoff seeding is working this year, where it's just like it's going to be a crapshoot until the final week of the season. That's just what it is. But right now, the Jaguars, they have 11 wins on the season. That's the first time they've had 11 wins in their in a season since 2007. So that's just they're having a really, really good year. And they got a big statement win over a good Broncos team that hasn't lost a home game. I can't recall when they said the last time they lost a home game, but it's been a couple years. I think it's been 2021, 2022, something like that. It's been a minute since the Broncos have lost a home game. And, you know, winning in Denver, especially coming from Jacksonville, where it's warm, usually the Florida teams tend to have issues when they go to these cold cities. And the Jaguars actually had zero issues in this game and kept it moving. Then we had the Atlanta Falcons at the Arizona Cardinals in the Who Cares Bowl. The Falcons got the win 26-19, and yeah, there you go. Two teams who have nothing to play for, and that's that. Then we had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Houston Texans, and the Raiders actually came to play in this one. They lost 23-21, but there was a little bit there where they actually not only had the lead, but it looked like they were going to maintain the lead. But this Texans defense is really damn good. I will say, though, a lot of people have been questioning whether Ashton Jeanty is actually a good running back or not and is a good pick for the Las Vegas Raiders. And to me, it's just hilarious because that offensive line is trash, so it's going to be really difficult for you to show out. But in the games that Jeanty has shown out, he looks really solid. So I do think the Raiders have a very talented guy at the running back position. It's just really difficult to run behind a shitty offensive line. In this game, he had 128 yards and a touchdown. He also had 60 receiving yards and a touchdown. He was basically the dude for them completely offensively yesterday. But it wasn't enough. The Texans defense really just held it down. They were able to get their seventh win in a row and keep pace in the wild card and keep pace in their division. But I kind of feel like the Jaguars now have that division on lock. Then we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Detroit Lions. We had quite a few weird endings this weekend, and this was one of them. Steelers came right out in this one, and they dominated this one. Their defense really showed out, and there was no TJ Watt in this one. He's still dealing with that lung injury that he's got. He had lung surgery, so he's still recovering from that. But this defense was so good yesterday that Jahmyr Gibbs is, it doesn't matter if the Lions are in a win or a loss, it kind of feels like that dude busts off for 150 yards every single game. In this game, he only had 15 yards. That just goes to show you what this Steelers defense did. Because, I mean, really, you can't look at the Detroit Lions offense and go, oh, there were all these turnovers, there was all this, there was all that. No, they were in it the whole way. It's just they keep falling short this season. And then the Steelers on the offensive side of the ball, they really took care of business. You know, they were able to, their ground attack, it just keeps getting better every single week. I mean, Warren, 143 yards on the ground with rushing with two touchdowns. And then Gainwell had the craziest catch of the day. It looked like it hit the ground, and no, it hit his arms, bounced into his belly, and nobody touched him. So he walked off into the end zone for a touchdown. But he had 78 yards through the air and a touchdown. Through the air, and Aaron Rodgers was just able to keep them moving. They were making the big plays in the end when they had to, and then it came down to the Steelers missed a field goal, actually, at the end to try and go up 8. So the Lions actually start driving down the field. They get a pass interference call, and then they get into the red zone, and then they actually have their own offensive pass interference call, which sets them back. Pushes them back a bit, and they also almost scored on that one, but they did not because of the pass interference. And then on 4th and goal, dude gets stopped at the 1-yard line, and he throws the ball back to Jared Goff, and it looks like, yeah, it's a touchdown, hooray, but no, it turns out it's actually an offensive pass interference. And that's how the game ends, because since there was no time left on the clock, the pass interference offensively, that's just that. That's at the end of the game. And so the Steelers end up getting the win 29-24. A big win for the Steelers because this keeps them in the division lead. This keeps them in the playoffs. This also gives them just a big win because they're really just putting it together as all around, offensively, defensively, special teams with the coaching, and they're beating good teams. And even if it's close matchups, they're still maintaining the lead and just really not falling apart in these close matchups lately. And with no TJ Watt, like I said, no TJ Watt, and their defense played like that, you really got to watch out when TJ Watt gets back. And then the Sunday Night Football matchup, which actually ended up being a really excellent matchup between the New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens, close all the way to the bitter end, but the Patriots were able to walk off with the win 28-24. Lamar Jackson actually ended up getting kneed in the back and leaving right before halftime, which I kind of feel like played a huge role in this game because offensively this actually looked like a pretty good game from the Ravens for the most part. You know, they've had their struggles this season, but they came right out the gate and actually were ready to take it to the Patriots. And, you know, Derrick Henry he was having a great day until they stopped going to him for some reason. He actually ended up with 128 yards and 2 touchdowns. He did have a bad fumble at one point, but for some reason in the second half, in the fourth quarter especially, they stopped going to Derrick Henry, and it was just weird because he, even though in spite of the fumble, he still was having a fantastic night, and he was really actually trucking over a lot of this New England Patriots defense. It kind of felt like he was dominating them, so I don't know why they went away from him But then no Lamar Jackson in the game, I kind of really feel like affected them. And then the Patriots were able to just take over. Drake May had another great game, 31 for 44, 380 yards and two touchdowns. Stephon Diggs actually made a couple of big plays on their final drive, especially on a 4th and 2. He was able to make this big play and not only get the 2 yards, but just take off down the field, set them up in real solid field position, and then just get them ready for a touchdown. He had 138 yards on the night. And just another big win from the Patriots, another bad loss for the Baltimore Ravens. They still are in playoff contention, but they need to not only win their next 2 games, but they need the Steelers to lose their next 2 games. So I doubt that's going to happen. I've been saying this for about the last month and a half. Everybody kind of felt like the Ravens were going to go on a tear and get going, and then the Steelers were going to lose the division. I'm like, no. The Steelers actually got a nice front-loaded lead to start the season, and now they're just playing really solid, consistent football right now, where the Ravens have not played any good or consistent football season at all this season. And you just can't magically turn it on, and they're going to be lucky to make the playoffs at this point. Then moving on to Monday Night Football and the matchup tonight, we have the San Francisco 49ers at the Indianapolis Colts. With the Detroit Lions loss, the 49ers actually have now clinched a playoff spot. So basically, their win, if they win, they still actually are in line for the number one overall seed. So that's basically what the Niners are playing for. The Colts are also still in line for a playoff spot as well. But if they lose, they're done completely. So they've got a lot more on the line than the Niners do. But with that being said, I just kind of feel like the Colts, they're that team that started off the season really hot, and now they just can't put it together the second half of the season. Whereas the Niners, they're just there. It's funny that they're even in the playoffs because nobody's really talking about them. They're not really that good of a team. They don't have any, outside of Christian McCaffrey, they don't really have any standout players. And even with Christian McCaffrey, he's not having an MVP-type season. So it's not like he's really busting off for all these crazy runs and scoring like 5 touchdowns in a game with 250 yards. No, they're really just playing good football, not even trying to like downplay what they're doing, because obviously they're a playoff bound team, but it's just like they're middle of the road in basically every statistical category. Brock Purdy's not having that great of a season. Their offense isn't lighting anybody up. They don't have any really great receivers. The majority of their defense is completely decimated due to injuries. But yet, here they still are. And I mean, that just kind of goes to show what a great coach Shanahan is, in my opinion, just because this team really hasn't blinked. And here they still are. They've made a playoff spot, so it doesn't even matter what happens in this game. They could lose the next 3, and they're still in it, so it don't matter. But I'm sure they want to win just to win. But with that being said, I just think they're the better coached team. They're more prepared for this. I do expect Indianapolis to actually make this a really good game. They do get DeForest Buckner back. They've been missing him for the last month and a half, and he was playing excellent football before he got injured. So he could make a difference tonight. But even so, I just kind of feel like the San Francisco 49ers are the better team. And I've got the Niners winning this one 27-21. Then we had the college football playoff over the weekend. And I've always pretty much been against this huge expansion of the college football playoff. I know why they do it, because obviously it's all about the money. But for me, it's like too many teams makes it really boring football and invites too many garbage can teams that just don't belong. And that's actually what this entire weekend was. Actually, all years of the college football playoff, every year that they expand it beyond the 4 teams, when it was like the BCS Bowl and it was 4 teams, I felt like that was the best model, because you really only have 4 really good teams in college football, and then it's just a bunch of meh mediocrity. And that's what showed in this weekend. We had 1 really good game and then 3 just what-the-fuck games. Beginning with the only good game, which was on Friday night between Alabama and Oklahoma. It started out like Oklahoma was going to kick their ass, and I even actually changed the channel, because at one point, it was the first quarter and Oklahoma was up 17-0, and I'm a Longhorns fan, and there's no way I'm going to watch Oklahoma kick ass. I can't do it. I wanted to vomit as I'm watching this game, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, is Alabama going to show up? And I'm like, well, you know, they can come back. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to change it, and if I see that this scores gets tied up or whatever, then I'll turn it back. Well, as halftime rolls around, I get an alert on my phone that says, Alabama's tied it up. They intercepted Mateer, the Oklahoma quarterback, and ran it back for a touchdown to tie it up. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'll keep on watching, which I'm glad I did because that was the only good game. Like I said, Alabama was down by 17, and then they just ran away with it in the second half and got the win 34-24. OU actually missed a field goal at the end. So it was a close game, even though it was a 10-point game there. But Alabama's quarterback, Simpson, went 18 for 29, 232 yards and 2 touchdowns. And really solid game from Alabama. You know, I had a problem with Alabama getting in because they had 3 losses. They're the only 3-loss team. But at least they showed up and proved that they belong, unlike the next 3 games we're going to talk about here. So we had Miami versus Texas A&M. This actually had really good, really good game written all over it before the game. And then neither team wanted to win this game. It was like missed field goal, missed field goal, missed field goal, missed field goal. Get nowhere, get nowhere, get nowhere. Until literally the last 2 drives of the game are the only times either offense was able to get going. Miami was able to score on the only touchdown of the game, the only good drive of the game. It was Beck to Tony, and they got the win 10-3. Texas A&M, like I said, they actually did start driving, but then it was hilarious that their quarterback ended up throwing an interception, and that's how that game ended. But that was probably the worst display of football I've ever seen in my life, especially for a playoff game. Like, these are supposed to be 2 of the best teams, and I even picked A&M to win it all. That's how much I looked at A&M, and both teams just laid a complete egg and showed neither one of them belonged, even though Miami got the win, but Miami's probably going to get their ass beat next week. And then we had Ole Miss versus Tulane. I said Tulane did not belong, and here's why, because Ole Miss stomped their ass 41-10. So why? Why is Tulane here? They didn't belong. And then we go to Oregon versus James Madison, who also didn't belong, because guess what? Oregon smashed James Madison 51-34, and really James Madison only got those 34 points basically in garbage time. So that's definitely 4 teams that I just discussed that actually did not belong in. So like I said, college football playoff expansion has now expanded way too big. But hey, they're not going to, as a matter of fact, they're probably going to expand it out even more rather than cut it down. But that's why I think it should be cut down, because look at the terrible football we got over the weekend. Moving on to the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week. And still not a lot of changes. Lots of consistency in basketball this year. Basically, it's looking like the teams that are the teams, they are the teams, at least right now. Remaining number one, still Oklahoma City Thunder, because, man, they have 3 losses now on their season. Ugh. They're 25-3 on the season. We should just drop them all the way down to 10 because now they have 3 losses on the season. If you can't sense the sarcasm, just it doesn't matter that they've suffered 3 losses on the season. This past week, they beat the Clippers but lost to the Minnesota Timberwolves. And that Timberwolves game, the Timberwolves, they're starting to look like a really good team. We'll talk about them when we get to them because they are in the top 10. They took it to SGA and Oklahoma City. It was a close game, but I mean, they really had an excellent game plan in this one and kind of gave you a blueprint on basically the only way you can beat the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that's basically go ahead and let SGA shoot, but you have to let everybody just see if anybody else can step up other than SGA. Speaking of SGA, he's averaging 32.5 points per game this season. So, still keeping it up at an MVP pace, and they're actually second in the league, averaging 122.5 points per game. So they are blowing everybody out of the water, but defensively, I just really like everything about this team. It's going to be difficult to dethrone the Oklahoma City Thunder, and that's coming from a Lakers fan who knows my team's pretty damn good too. But I look at this Thunder team, and they are kicking everybody's ass. Then at number 2 in my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 22-6. This past week, they beat the Boston Celtics, lost to the Dallas Mavericks, and then beat the Charlotte Hornets. And they are just such a good team. They are good in every way. They dominate the paint. They're good offensively. You know, Cade Cunningham is just, he can't be stopped. He is such a good player, an all-around player, too. He's great in the paint. He's great from the three. He's just such a good shooter, and he's a great leader as well. And then you've got Durant in the middle there, who's just having a phenomenal year. It's just this Detroit Pistons team, they just are just killing it in the Eastern Conference right now, and they just look so good and really have not lost a step at all. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, this team, they are killing it right now. And they just got their star back. You know, they're actually starting to get really healthy, and that is the San Antonio Spurs. Overall record of 21-7. They're currently on a 6-game winning streak, which is what really has propelled them up my NBA power rankings this week. This past week, they beat the Washington Wizards twice and beat the Atlanta Hawks. But like I said, this team's starting to get healthy. They got Wemby back, and man, this guy is balling out of his mind right now since he got back. But they got Castle back. They got Fox back. And so now they're all starting to gel. Now they're starting to look really good offensively, defensively. They're another one of those teams that's just dominating the paint. And like I said, now that Wemby's healthy, it's like, man, every game he's in, it's just like, what's he going to do? What's happening here? And this Spurs team is no joke. They are actually here to stay. And even, like I said, even when missing Wemby, they were able to not only keep their heads above water, they played great basketball. I mean, they're 21-7 on the season. And Wemby missed about, like, what, 2-3 weeks there? So that's a good chunk of basketball, and they still were able to maintain, still able to play well in the NBA Cup, and still able to play well against every team that they go up against right now. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings, the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 19-8. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz and lost to the Los Angeles Clippers. But man, Luka Doncic is having an MVP caliber year. Still leads the league in scoring. As a matter of fact, Luka has led the league in scoring every single motherfucking week since the season began. Right now, he's averaging 34.1 points per game, 8.6 rebounds per game, 8.8 assists per game, and 1.6 steals per game. So his game is all around. It's not just about the offense. He's getting it in the rebounds. He's assisting. And defensively, he's actually playing really well. LeBron, he is turning it on himself too. I mean, he was basically the only starter who played in that Clippers game. That's why we got demolished in that one. But we do need Reeves back. They're starting to look a little shaky without Reeves. So he's been injured the last week-ish. So we definitely need Reeves back in the fold here. But other than that, though, Luka, he's been playing out of his mind and just looking really solid right now. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 20-7. This past week, they beat the Houston Rockets, the Orlando Magic, and then lost to the Houston Rockets. And it's just, they are scoring everybody out of the building. They are first in field goal percentage right now, knocking down 51.3% of their field goals. They are first in the league with points per game, averaging 124.7 points per game. And they are either second or third right now in three-point percentage, knocking down 51.3% of their three-pointers. So they are an all-around team. You know, you got Jokic there, the triple-double king. So it's like he's great at the three-point line. He's great at the free throw line. He's great in the paint. He's going to get you some defense, and he's going to mow motherfuckers down. But then you got Jamal Murray, who's just knocking down like 42 points in some games. It's just, he's balling out of his mind, and it's just, this Denver Nuggets team is, they look like their old championship self from a couple years ago. That's kind of what I'm feeling with this Denver Nuggets team, if they keep it up the way that, at this pace. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 20-8. This past week, they beat the Indiana Pacers, lost to the Philadelphia Sixers, and beat the Miami Heat. And this is another team I look at that's a very good all-around team. They're great at shooting, but man, defensively, this is just one of the best teams to watch. If you want to watch some really good old-school defensive basketball, that's what this New York Knicks team is all about. Actually, both the Pistons and the Knicks. That's what I like about both of these teams. They're just like old school Eastern Conference style play. You know, back when, you know, the bad boys of the Pistons and when Patrick Ewing used to play for the Knicks, that's kind of the vibe I get for both of these teams where it's just they're playing excellent defensively. But then the Knicks, they're just gelling. And then you've got OG Anunoby. You know, he's been working his way back from his injury. and starting to get really hot. And before he got injured, he was basically the number two guy, you know, right up there. So I just kind of feel like the stronger he gets, the better it's going to get. And then, you know, you got Brunson, who's just been doing his thing as well. So I just look at the Knicks as playing some excellent basketball, and they just keep it up with that suffocating defense, that's for sure. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 17-9. This past week, they lost to the Denver Nuggets, lost to the New Orleans Pelicans, beat the Denver Nuggets, and then lost to the Sacramento Kings. Really, that's the only reason why they're slipping in my top 10, because they're still a damn good team. It's just they're on a little bit of a losing streak right now. Not really getting a lot of wins here and there, but they're still, I mean, speaking of scoring out of the building, they are actually first in three-point percentage, knocking down 40.3 of their three-pointers. And then they're first in rebounds, averaging 49 rebounds per game. And then they're actually third in the league, averaging 121 points per game. So they are having zero issues scoring and not looking too terrible on the defensive side of the ball themselves either, but definitely dominating the paint and just looking like a really solid team. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Minnesota Timberwolves, overall record of 19-10. This past week, they lost to the Memphis Grizzlies, but then beat the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Milwaukee Bucks. And Anthony Edwards is just having an amazing year. And like I said, they played an excellent game against Oklahoma City, and that's what they really have to do, because, you know, I just put both Oklahoma City and Denver above them in my NBA power rankings. But they're just right there with them. It's really, to me, it's just Denver's suffocating offense, and then Oklahoma City is just suffocating everybody in the league right now. So it's like I can't really put the Timberwolves above either of those teams. But the Timberwolves they're getting hot. They're actually really starting to turn it on defensively. They're really starting to look good on the defensive side of the ball. And I feel like that's going to be their edge that they're going to need, especially against teams like Denver and Oklahoma City, who score a lot of points. Rather than keeping pace with them and scoring a lot of points, why not just play some defense and try and stop them from scoring points and just have Anthony Edwards score all the points he can? Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Boston Celtics, overall record of 17-11. This past week, they lost to the Detroit Pistons, but then got wins over the Miami Heat and the Toronto Raptors. Brown is just carrying this team, as expected, with no Tatum. He's averaging 29.3 points per game. And, you know, they're starting to kind of find their footing, but, I mean, to me, the Knicks and the Pistons are just kind of head and shoulders above everybody in the Eastern Conference, and the Celtics are really just kind of lucky to be there. They're lucky that Brown is actually stepping it up when he has to, because, you know, last year he kind of started the season off slow, and that kind of affected the way things happened towards the end of the season. But this year he's the dude, and really having no issues taking over games. It's just him getting help from other guys around him. That seems to be the issue right now for the Boston Celtics. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week at the Orlando Magic, overall record of 16-12. This past week, they lost to the Denver Nuggets, but got a win over the Utah Jazz. And it's just, man, Desmond Bane is just taking over. I mean, in this Utah Jazz game that they got the win over, he just took over in that game and just went off. I don't know what's gotten into him this year, but I mean, even in the NBA Cup, he had a couple of really good games, even in the loss. He is just a very sneaky character. And then you got Wendell Carter Jr., who's having a solid year himself. It's just they got to get some of these dudes back from injury. Ben Caro's also having a good year himself as well. It's Orlando Magic team. They're very young. It's just, are they going to be able to play consistent basketball down the stretch? We'll see. But they're right there. And, I mean, their division is there for the taking, because the Miami Heat, they're kind of starting to fall apart here a little bit. I expect them to stay in it. I actually wouldn't be shocked if this division comes down to a battle between the Magic and the Heat. Right now, the Magic are winning that battle. And, I mean, it's coming from their young guys. They're playing some really consistent basketball, really good team basketball. It's just they kind of need some of these injured guys to come back and give them some depth on the bench. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.